ever been so funny to you that you almost skip laughing and you just start crying? Because I'm about there right now.
We're all freaks on the inside.
An acquired taste.
So
that
how many
doesn't
days?
Count as starting, Bethany.
Carbonation.
While you drink your soda stream.
I think you're married to your soda stream.
I am. I have 7 bottles at home. Containers.
Congratulations.
And I,
big family.
You. And I rotate them. I probably go through 14 of these a day.
I think I might, and it's fun that this is a safe place.
Wait.
The man I'm dating doesn't listen to our podcast. What?
14?
Yeah.
You drink 14 SodaStream bottles a day? How many ounces are in these things?
I don't know, but I have to refill them each one about twice a day.
That's why she has the glow. She's always hydrated.
I don't know.
My hydration shock has now set in. Sam, I'm sorry to have interrupted.
Not at all. Your face was worth it. I was just saying, I think I'm going to get one for William.
You should.
And I could say that here because he doesn't listen.
Yeah.
I could literally say anything about him.
You should. Get them. They're not a sponsor, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
They have a kind where it's like you hit a button and it carbonates. Don't get that one because it doesn't work as well.
That's when I...
It doesn't work as well.
You've got the one that looks like an old-timey smoothie machine.
Yeah, and you insert the bottle into it and then you have to push down on the top of it and it injects the carbonation into it. That one works better because you can... I don't know, I just feel like you have more control and it's a higher level of carbonation.
Cool.
Unless I got a faulty one. I tried the one with the button and it didn't work as well.
And there are all these flavors that you can get, like sugar-free flavors. So it's kind of like having your own La Croix at home.
Yeah.
I feel like it would be dangerous for me personally, but I'll give it to someone else.
Yeah, it's great.
I won't stop at water like you. I'm doing lemonade.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
Milkshakes.
No, I just do straight water. Milkshakes. I tried vodka. It doesn't work. It explodes.
That sounds fun. Oh,
it explodes.
Look at that. Look at that. You have to try a heavier liquor.
Yeah,
it'll
maybe.
Stay toward the bottom.
Do you know
more.
What? Somebody told me about seltzer recently. If you want the perfect scrambled eggs, instead of adding milk, add seltzer.
Oh,
the carbonation makes them fluffy.
On that note, let's introduce ourselves.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast where your 3 quirky girlfriends here to chat about whatever it is that we have on our minds today, and it's a lot today. I'm Bethany. That's Kathleen.
Hello.
And Sam, who's wearing a turban today, and I like it.
I love this thing.
I have to tell you guys, the cutest thing happened with Loki, the peak-faced Persian cat last night.
Your kitty cat?
Did he finally hit a wall?
He has done it before. His face is completely flat, so he can go up against a wall, and every part of his face hits it at the same time. So he has really coarse... It's so coarse, it's almost sticky fur.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so if you pet him, it will cause a mat in his fur.
Okay.
So normally he has to get a lion cut, but I really like how he looks without it because he looks like a teddy bear that's come to life. And so last night I had to, there were a couple knots in his mane and I had to get them out and he hates it. He used to scream even when he saw the brush coming, he would scream.
Really?
Yeah, the saddest thing. And so I've started to train them with treats and stuff. Like every time I hit you with a brush, not literally hit you, but every time you have a brushing, you get a treat. So last night, I had him in my lap. I'm on the floor and I took the mat and I held it as close to his skin as possible so that he didn't feel the tension.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was just slowly brushing out the mat and I was just saying, "You're a good boy, buddy. You're a good boy. You're a good boy." And I looked down and he was like tense because he was so uncomfortable, but he was sitting because he was trying so hard to be good. And then I got that one out and he was like, and I go, "You just have one more, buddy. It's okay." And I picked him up, turned around. I'm doing the other one. I hold it as close to his head. I start to parse it out and he just is like closing his eyes and he's just relaxing and I brush it out and then I just kept holding because he's just looking up at me, his eyes were closed as he's looking up at me and we're like having this little moment and I'm like, "You're a good boy, buddy. You're a good boy." And then he slowly opened his eyes and I'm like, "You're done, buddy." And then he just stayed there still. Like it was just this moment of him just completely trusting me that I wasn't going to hurt him. It was so lovely.
This is the human equivalent of like, "I'm all right. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
Breathe through the nose.
Yeah.
I'm okay."
It was, I tell them all the time, I will never do anything to hurt you.
Aww.
You, because they're both rescues, so they've both been hurt before, probably. And I am convinced they understand. And it was so sweet last night.
They do understand.
Moment. Yeah.
That's adorable.
Yeah, it was really, really sweet.
I like how he's associating these moments with like good snacks too.
Oh, yeah.
But he's doing what he's supposed to do, which is just be good when you ask him to be good. My family dog associates doing tricks with treats.
Yeah.
So whenever he wants one, he'll look at you and just offer paw and try and roll over. And we're like, not how it works, buddy.
He'll go get you a beer from the fridge.
Exactly. Yeah.
There are dogs who do that.
Yeah.
There are husbands who do that too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
part of both of those things.
I've heard of both of them.
Oh, can I make a quick, complete, not related to anything PSA?
Yeah.
Men have heard this before, but they have to stop blaming women's time of the month for stuff.
Oh, God, who's doing that?
This is not a new complaint, but I've heard, I hear little tidbits and pieces of it, and I am living proof that that's not the case because I used to be zero affected, and now I'm affected.
Wait, who did that to you?
I can't get into that on this podcast, but...
Was it your boyfriend?
No.
Okay.
I was going to say, that's breakup.
Oh my gosh.
That's
no.
not even, I didn't realize people still do
no,
that.
No, if he realized that, he would take off a glove and slap the guy in the face. No, it wasn't that. But I just mean I'm living proof in that it doesn't always, if someone's in a bad mood, they could just be in an effing bad mood.
Yeah.
I used to not at all be affected, and now the week before, I'm in a certain kind of energy, mm-hmm. which is fine. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm just now experiencing firsthand. I'm the experimental group.
Wow. I think we've all synced up, huh?
Right?
I'm about to get my period, too.
Congratulations.
Yeah. I don't get mine, so.
That's right. Yeah. That's fascinating.
All the carbonation from the soda stream.
I know. And the fact that I'm a world-class gymnast. Those two things together. Mm-hmm. No period.
I can't wait to see you in the summer 2018.
Or no,
that's 20? Winter.
20 Olympics.
20 Olympics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because 18.
You've been working so hard at that vault.
So hard. Thank you.
thank you for noticing.
But when you guys sync up finally, can we make an announcement?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Like some sort of fanfare?
Trumpets.
Yeah.
Can we get Stacks? Can we please get Stacks to make a jingle for when you two sync up?
Let's set the movement back a tiny bit, all in the name of Jest. Yes.
I think you should get your IUD removed just so you can sync up too.
It's time.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's been 5 years. Time to get that sucker out.
So your IUD and my sheets are synced up. Yes.
You save so much money on the Kotex pods.
Oh, God.
Why aren't tampons
free yet? On the tampons.
Sorry. So many problems happen.
Why is there a tax on tampons?
Why is there a tampon tax? Can we throw them all in the Boston Harbor just to make a statement?
We should. That would the whole harbor would get absorbed. Just go dry.
You'd be on a boat, and then all of a sudden you'd be like a half mile higher. The boat would just...
It just goes
extra.
All right.
We lost so many listeners so far. I'm sorry.
Come back. So I wanted to talk this week because we are heading into the holidays. We're in it. I mean, here we are. And and I know that anytime you go home, a lot of times you see extended family. And mm-hmm. while your immediate family may accept things about you, although they may not, extended family tends to be a bit more judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to know the top three things that your extended family is going to judge you for when you come home for the holidays this year.
This is always fun for me to surface.
I know. I'm doing this for you, Sam, because I know you have issues that you need to talk about.
Sam, do you have a heavy package you need to open up?
I really do. I have a heavy flow.
Okay, well,
I mean,
let's start
verbally
with you.
As well.
Yeah, let's start with you. What is your family going to judge you for?
So there's the one that I always feel like I'm being judged for, but I acknowledge that it might be in my brain, and it's the fact that my sister is surpassing me in the sibling hierarchy. Let's not tap into that one again.
She's engaged. Well, almost engaged.
She has a fiancé, which, by the way, people need to lay off. They've been saying there's no such thing.
There is.
I'm sorry. If two people have had a full conversation, like, we need to get engaged, but we definitely, like, they're being responsible.
Yeah.
They're like, we definitely need to live together for at least 6 months and learn habits and pay off this, that, and the other thing. That's more a little stronger than, I don't mind the word fiancé.
Yeah, if a promise ring is a thing, fiancé is the exact same thing.
Exactly.
If the Jonas Brothers have taught us anything.
It's no sex till marriage, you guys.
Wait, that's literally the opposite. Never mind. His mustache is great. Thanks, Joe.
Oof.
That. And then this one extends into two because it's so heavy. I have a problem biting my tongue when people say things I don't really agree with.
Yeah. Bro.
And that's a lot.
Uh-oh.
With this group. And then I'm the difficult one.
What don't you, like, is it
we
political
don't completely
views?
Agree politically with a lot of things and strict by definition for some other things. Like, I have a family member and it speaks no way to my love for them or vice versa or the way we feel for each other, whatever. I literally had to properly define what a feminist was about 2 years ago to one of these people because he thought feminist equals man hater.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah, a lot of people think that.
Yeah, so yeah. I had to sit down and explain that, and the same group of people, we got... Bethany's looking for something spitter gum out.
I need a piece of paper. Can I take this one?
No.
I'm listening to you talk about how there are certain political views and maybe social views that you don't agree with your family. And I didn't even realize it, but I'm like clutching
my
hands so hard.
Right? Like my family knows that's what my mom considers one of my many flaws is she says, Sam, you disagree with people, which is fine, but you got to learn when to let it go.
Yeah.
Because it's not worth it for the situation.
Yeah.
Which in theory I agree with, but I can't sit there and burn while I feel like you're being rude to me or my people or other people that I just don't think deserve your rudeness.
Yeah.
There was even one, what was it? I don't know. A few months ago, someone, sorry to everyone, someone said something and I started laughing reflexively out of stress and trying to keep my mouth shut. And when my dad said, what's wrong? I'm like, well, if that's the angle you're going to take on it, that means you're really lucky to see that as the only problem.
Mm, yeah.
And it was a real awkward dinner for the rest of that's me.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree that it's a problem I have. However, I'm going to be judged for it. And I know myself well enough to know it's going to happen.
Okay, gotcha. Is that number two?
That is number two through probably seven.
Okay.
It's going to be a long week.
Okay.
So that's my thing. I'm done. Everything's fine. I got louder through that monologue.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You're very nervous about going home.
I don't want to be quiet. Because it's peaceful.
People should know not to bring politics up.
That too.
That does not happen.
But isn't that a thing? Don't people know just not to do it?
Yeah, but sometimes people don't realize they're doing it.
Or they assume everyone in the room is on their side.
Either they assume everyone in the room is on their side, or they think that since it's the back door to the discussion, it's not the same as a political statement.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
just like some people don't know the definition of feminism, some people don't understand really what constitutes politics.
Yeah.
So they'll just bring up something that they kind of just think is like a day-to-day thing.
Because politics so much fits into our daily life and really guides a lot of it.
And it's really the only thing that anybody is talking about right now. So it's like there's an elephant in the room and you sit down and you're like, wow, stuffing looks great, Mom.
Yeah, right? So if I have one not flaw, it's I don't start the conversation.
Okay, that's good.
That's the one thing I got going for me.
That's good. Sam's 3 through 7 is also my number one. I can't. And you know what? It's only my family that we socially and politically clash our views on. And then I whisper to my mom or my brother, so I'm going to go spend actual Christmas Day with the not politically inept family.
Oh, no.
Is that like cousins or aunts and uncles?
No, it's Neil's family, husband's family, who are so cool. And we're all on the same page with that kind of stuff. But my family, Neil's family is the cool family. And my family is the stuck in the mud family. And my number two is that there's going to be a baby announcement in my family this Christmas, probably likely. It is not me.
And they wish it was you.
Yeah. Oh my God, Kathleen, our things are like parallels.
What?
Our things. Like you
and
the discussion,
that's right.
And the other people doing things, and then everyone eye rolls and looks at you and they're like, When are you gonna?
Girl, exactly.
We are synced up.
I know we are synced. Damn.
Wow.
Cycles and cycles of life.
Have yourself a stressful little Christmas.
Actually, that would be a great parody song.
Yeah. I understand.
If you weren't crying right now. And I don't know if I have a three, probably because I have very little patience. So I go into the kids' room and take a nap while most of the holiday goes on.
Yes. And you know what? That's a good thing to do. Kesha just wrote that article for Time.
That's right.
Saying that, you know, if the holidays really can trigger a lot of stress if you have a mental illness. Sup. Or if you are sober or whatever and trying to stay on any sort of wagon, it can really shake things up. And she said, take some time for yourself. Go sleep. I like that.
Yeah. All right. I see you, Kesha.
I mean, I'm like the rude ass one in the phone, like in the corner on my phone, like on Pinterest. And everybody's like trying to visit with each other. And I'm just like, whatever.
But it's like a mental survival mechanism.
Yeah.
It's not a middle finger. It's not because you're not paying attention. Mm-hmm. And it's not because you're rude. So let's everyone recognize the difference.
Yes.
Like, sorry, little sister, you're rude. She doesn't need a break.
Well, and I think
she just can't get off her GD phone.
Wait, you know what? I just thought of, we should all have undershirts or tank tops that say, you're rude. And then we lift up our our sweaters whenever we disagree with somebody. You're rude. Read the sweater.
I like that. My therapist told me that if there's somebody that I'm having a hard time with, if I'm in their presence, I should buy a tank top, a white tank top, and write you and then their name and wear it underneath my clothes when I'm with them. Because it just will empower me. And even if they can't see it, and hopefully they can't, I'll know it's there and it's supposed to help you.
You gotta be careful with that though, because with enough eggnog and the wrong thing, you're gonna show Jessica that shirt.
You, Jessica!
What if you spill coffee on your sweater and then you have to take it off and it says F you and then everybody's name and your family on the shirt?
Or even worse, you're just gonna like wipe your nose with your top shirt and you're just gonna see the name. So then you have to deal with the 30 seconds of like, wait, did I just see my name?
Did I just see dad on your belly button?
What does your shirt say? Let me see your shirt.
All right, so maybe proceed with caution on that one. Or write it near the top so that if you lift your shirt up why are you lifting your shirt up though?
I sometimes play with the bottom as a nervous habit because my phone is charging.
Okay. Don't do that. Then this is not for you. This is not for Sam's.
Okay.
Maybe you should carry around a bouquet so you don't, you know, in place of your phone, a little Christmas bouquet.
Yeah.
That won't draw the eye.
Get you a fidget spinner.
Yeah.
Where did your fidget spinner go, girl?
Nowhere.
There you go. Do you remember that episode where all I did was play with a fidget spinner?
Yeah, that was your calmest episode.
And our audio files were probably freaking out because they heard it in the background.
Thanks for this.
Better?
Nice. Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, it's still going. Hold on, don't talk yet.
Damn it, Kathleen.
Wait, totally off topic before Bethany gets... Before Bethany gets into her, the reasons why she is going to wholly disappoint everybody this Christmas.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Bethany, you have a smart suitcase.
I do.
Yeah. So have you heard that? And if anybody's listening, you have one of these suitcases where you can plug your phone in and it recharges.
Life changing.
A lot of airlines are banning them. So don't take that home for Christmas.
Because they explode?
Yeah.
Why do they explode?
If you can't take the battery out, some airlines are saying you can't take it on board.
Thank you for warning me.
Because yours is a carry-on.
Yeah, it is.
Well, thank you, airplanes, for being safe. But maybe let's step up the luggage game if that's a risk.
Yeah. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Your luggage changed my life. Remember when I was literally plugged into the floor?
Yes.
Yards away.
And
I didn't understand you because I didn't know a smart luggage was a thing. You're like, I have my luggage. I'm like, I have mine too.
You're like, I'm just
charging. I'm here.
You're on the floor in the middle of the luggage area, like right in the middle. Of the floor.
Yeah, sitting.
Everyone's walking around you.
What stains are... It was like an episode of The Office where they turn on a black light in a hotel room and everything's glowing. And Dwight said, this is either blood, urine, or semen. And Michael just goes, God, I hope it's urine. You were sitting on all kinds of stains.
Oh, yeah. You were sitting on just like a puddle of glowing light.
It was magical.
Yeah.
I think that's where I got my superpowers of not being able to bite my tongue.
Probably.
Thank you. Bethany, make us feel better.
Okay.
How are you going to be a disappointment to everyone around you this season?
First of all, so this is my normal like nuclear family. They're great.
Mm-hmm.
This is my extended family.
All right.
Number one.
The way you said extended.
I live in New York. Uh-huh. That's a problem.
Oh, you harlot?
Oh, yeah. So I live in New York, which means that I'm far away from family,
mm-hmm.
which means that I'm inevitably going to get attacked and killed
mm-hmm.
because it's New York. And when this happens, it will be my fault.
Yes.
Oh.
Because I chose to move to New York.
Right.
That's number one.
Welcome to New York. We've been waiting for you. Most people think it's Taylor Swift. It was Stalkers who wrote that song.
The number two reason I'm going to be judged by my extended family this year, I don't have any children, nor do I have a husband.
Shame on you.
And when I broke up with my ex, my grandmother was very upset. Not because she liked him, but because I broke up with him. And now I don't have a man to like... protect me and take care of me.
You're barely a human.
I know. She still asks about him. And is
Grandma.
And doesn't like that I don't have a person to like pay my rent or whatever.
Right. I mean, your grandma has a point.
It's having somebody pay your rent is kind of nice. Sorry. I'm your grandma.
I would save so much money. I did the math of how much money I pay in rent a year. It's a salary.
Yeah.
It's a salary.
I bet a lot of people get together and like start relationships, not because they really truly want to be in relationships with each other, just because they can't afford the rent.
Yeah. I know someone who started dating a lot of people just because she couldn't afford food. Like she had kids and she needed to eat herself. Mm-hmm. And so she went on dates because it was dinner.
I mean,
which is like brilliant and also heartbreaking.
Yeah, really is. Yeah. Oh my God. Okay, do you remember the Call Me Maybe song? Do you remember?
Jeez. Of course.
Good luck forgetting that one. It was everywhere.
Carly Rae.
Carly Rae Jepsen. My friend made business cards. She's when it was really hot, and it said, "Hey, I just met you and this is crazy, but if you turn it over, it says, but here's my number, so feed me maybe." Like, she would hand it out as a joke to
guys
she was
kind of interested in. How many of those does she still have?
I don't know, but maybe I can get my hands on a few. They were kind of glorious. Yeah. I do love that.
I love it too. My number three, I just have written down, I'm a whore. Which is actually not true because, as you know, I am not having sex or dating at all on principle.
You've entered the priesthood or the priestesshood.
Yeah, I'm a high priestess. But my aunt assumes that I am a whore because, see, number one, I live in New York. And she said to me at my grandfather's funeral.
No.
She hugged me. It was like, oh, hey, Beth. And then they called me Beth, which, but then she said, as she's hugging me, she says it sternly into my ear. And then she's emphasizing with the hug. So she's like pulling me in tighter.
It wasn't an affection hug.
No.
It was a threatening hug.
It turned from a nice into a threat. It was like, I know you live in New York, but you just get all that out of your system and then you just come back home. I'm like, oh God.
Oh, okay. And was she petting your head by the end of it?
Nope.
She just come back home.
And my grandfather's body is there. I mean, it was just like the most, he's like lying in state, like dead, and he's right there and he's got lip gloss on and it was popping. And then she's threatening me. And the subtext was, get your whoring out and then come back home. Marry a good man, have some kids.
This is not how your grandfather would have wanted.
Oh my God. Not what your grandfather saw for you and your future. And she's 6 feet tall. We're all tall people in Wisconsin. And so I'm craning up to her as she's threatening me.
It's never going to happen. No. They're never going to understand.
No.
Which frightens me because what's going to be ours? What are we going to do that the generation of grandchildren are going to be talking about us as a whole about something?
Oh, man.
You're bringing up one of my future greatest fears. My life is a pit of possible and current anxieties.
Probably the same stuff that we're complaining about right now.
I hope not. I hope not. Some just don't get it. My aunt designed, okay, I tweeted this yesterday. It was actually kind of hilarious, but sad when I thought about it. My aunt made a manger for Christmas, is how she decorated. And she's kind of missing out on some serious semantics because she put Santa in the manger, bringing Jesus a gift. She's like, I did the Christmas scene. And I'm like, ah, boy.
That is my biggest pet peeve.
I'm going to put that on our Instagram. Hashtag hi Jesus, hashtag sup Santa.
I have a friend who's a minister. And she makes this joke that her biggest pet peeve is those Christmas scenes where Jesus is kneeling at the manger because Jesus isn't there. So at some of her talks, she'll hand out Christmas ornaments that are Jesus at the manger because she hates them so much.
That's fantastic.
I want a nativity set that's just characters from The Office.
That's just as disrespectful if you think about
it. It is. Michael Scott would make himself marry.
Ooh, I can't wait to show my mother. She's going to cry.
Your mother should come to my mother's house for Christmas because my mom puts Buddha in the main or in like the area.
Brilliant.
I feel like that's also not right.
No.
Oh my God. I just looked over your shoulder and I have a set of elf ears on my Buddha.
Well,
get it off of her.
My mother's still not over the fact that I have a star on top of my tree instead of an angel. How dare I, bad Catholic.
That's your three. That's your number
that's
three.
That's my number three. Ooh, that's a good one.
Take a picture of like a grilled cheese sandwich and put, because that's what I idolize.
And put it on top,
put that on top of
your
tree.
Just to piss her off.
Have yourself.
You heathen. You so I stay home and drink champagne while they go to church.
There's something wrong with all three of us. And I love that because that kind of normalizes us as well.
Should we go around and say what we learned this week?
Man, this topic really sucked it out of me. Now I don't even want Christmas to come.
Oh, right? I'm so sorry.
This was an early morning topic too, so we have our day ahead of us.
Yeah, it's a long day.
Like this was a pre-show recording.
Yeah.
You know what? I think as an exercise at home, anybody who's listening to this, write down the three things that you know that you will disappoint your family with this holiday season.
And then maybe turn it into a bingo card just for you.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Drinking game. Yeah. Oh, no, bad idea. Oh. Never mind.
No, that's a very good idea. Very, very good idea.
Oh, my God. I'd get sloshed before dinner came out. And like at the end of the night, at least four people would never want to talk to me again.
Well, you know your family. So if you know that they're going to like bombard you with this stuff right away, then maybe don't make a bingo card or make a harder bingo card. Like, you
crying.
Know, like, yeah, crying, like ass, heaving sobs yes. would maybe be harder to get depending on what your family is.
Well, not in my current state.
What if you just walked into the house and said, I'm a little bit fatter. I don't have a baby. I don't have a house. I am not married. Yes, I dinged my car yesterday. I do not have presents for everybody. I stopped at the CVS on the way here. I did not bring the side dish that you asked me. And these cookies are store-bought. F*** you.
I did not bring presents for all of you.
I love that.
You just lay it out on the table.
I love that.
And with a giant.
Literally and figuratively.
Melodic f*** you.
And then you go straight for the wine.
And then you go straight for the wine.
That's fantastic. I love that.
I love it too.
I'm just going to play. I'm going to walk in. And wow, a little New Jersey came out. I'm going to walk in the room and say, I just want to play this clip from my podcast this week. And I'm just going to play Kathleen's rant.
Bring
I don't
in
have
a,
to do it.
A giant boombox from the 80s.
Exactly.
Just this is what you have. I want to play this. And then you like thud the boombox down.
And Aunt Marie, my mom's Jewish. They've been married for a long time. She's great. Why are you still not over that?
Jesus. Quite literally.
Jeez.
Okay. What did you learn this week?
Everything is awesome.
Everything is awesome.
All right.
I know.
What did you learn this week?
I know for once.
You go, Kathleen.
Judge not a documentary by its title.
Oh, what'd you see?
There's this documentary. If you have HBO or HBO Go, I turned this thing on once just a few nights ago, fully expecting to watch 5 minutes and be like, this is shit, and turn it off. It's called Tickled.
I've heard about this.
I love that documentary.
And why did you think that wasn't going to be good? It's so crazy.
And it's so crazy. It's a whole documentary about the dark, seething underworld of tickling. So these are two New Zealand filmmakers who made this.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting how the rules of filming in public are different in New Zealand than they are in the United States. And that really sets everything in the documentary into motion because people from the United States fly to New Zealand and there's an investigation on professional aggressive tickling.
Yeah, it's kooky. It's the dark comedy of documentaries.
It is.
It's definitely worth checking out.
A couple of guys whose podcast I listen to are on that. And that was like one of their first podcast topics. Yeah. And I've heard about it. I haven't watched it yet.
I'm telling you, will hang on to the edge of your seat the whole time. It is weird and twisted.
It'll make you uncomfortable.
Oh,
better yet, watch it with your family at Christmas time. Yep.
Let's throw another problem into that hot dish.
Watch it with Aunt Ethel.
My God.
This week I learned that if you need to just tune out, if you want something so relaxing and lovely to watch on Netflix that doesn't require you to really think very much and you just need zone out TV, watch Midsummer Murders. Because the first episodes are like from 1993. So they look like they're from 1962. And
video cameras were so bad back
then. So terrible. And it's just about this tiny village called Midsummer. And with a bunch of little villages within it. And people just keep dying. And the lovely country investigator and his sidekick go and investigate these lovely murders. And like people, it's like stabbings. It's like shotgun violence or, you know, and it sounds so not relaxing. But the murders are so clean. Like a woman fell, literally last night, a woman fell off a granite quarry cliff. And smashed her head on the bottom of the ravine. And when they found her, she was still awake and alert. And there was a slight trickle of blood coming from behind her head. Yeah, I mean, it's so sanitized.
You okay?
And it's all just, and they're all perfectly British and very upstanding and old. Very old.
Wait, say that again. Granite quarry cliff.
Yes.
Say that 3 times fast.
Yes, exactly. So Midsummer Murders on Netflix. It's just a delightful way to zone out. I like it a lot.
Adding it to my list.
Samantha, what'd you learn this week?
You knocked it out of my brain, Bethany.
Oh,
you
sorry.
Shook me with that one. What did I learn this week? Oh. I learned that I'm really, really happy to be at a place in my life where I'm starting to admire what physicalities mean rather than just the physicality. So, excuse me, morning voice. When I was growing up, you have, you know, as a lot of women especially unfortunately do, this certain body type that you're like, yay, and this certain body type that you're like, boo. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that the broad shoulders on a woman thing was kind of intense and not something I really wanted. And I'm so happy to finally be at a place in my life where I'll see broad shoulders. Like, I was looking at females who are climbing for a long period of time at the rock gym I go to, and they have these shoulders that are obviously earned. That's what I call them. I'm like, those are earned shoulders. Those aren't genetics. And they're wider. And I am so attracted to this look because it's not just like a look that I'm attracted to.
Yeah.
I'm like, holy crap, that is years of hard work. People don't get that for, like, people spend their whole lives going for things and can't do that. Oh my God, she's such a badass. Good for her.
That's awesome.
And I love that. And when I vocalize that to a couple of the guys at the rock gym, they're like, oh, we don't really talk about it to non-climbers, but that's the sexiest thing in the entire world.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Men who climb have this crazy thing for women who climb.
That's so cool.
It's such a small secret sexualized club that I had no idea about. But as soon as I opened it, my mouth about it, a few of the guys I was with looked at each other and started to chuckle. And they're like, oh, women who climb are literally, you can't be any sexier to a guy who climbs than if you're a woman who climbs.
That's cool.
I'm like, oh, me, I get it because I'm there too now.
Yeah.
I am also attracted to her.
That's awesome.
So that's what I learned this week is the cause of things are as attractive, if not more than just the surface of what you're looking at.
Yeah, I love that.
Nice.
All right. Thank you so much for listening this week. We love you. You can follow us on stuff like Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
Also on Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast.
And on Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast.
And we keep an eye out because there is a pending possible person. Damn it, I can't think of another word. Event. I was going to try and say something with a P. Mm-hmm. We might try and do something live with you guys sometime soon.
Yeah.
So pay attention for that. It's coming up within the next month to 2 months.
Oh, and email us your addresses before December 15th. Our email address is anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com. But you can also DM us on Instagram or Facebook.
Yeah, we want to show up with your house with muffins.
Yes. And make sure to watch my web series. The incomplete first season of Labeled is out, episodes 1-6. Go to labeledseries.com and that will redirect you over to the website. And we would love it if you would watch it and tell your friends.
Yeah. We love you guys. We'll talk to you soon.